Can you hear me, Jack?
I can hear you, Mark. How are you doing, Jack?
I can hear you. I'm doing great.
Great. Well, if you see me on there twice, I've got some activities down here in Kodiak, so hopefully it doesn't interrupt things. But,
all right. I'm in participants. Oh, I see. There.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of the other members join yet, but I am going to see if I can't try calling out to Vincent here shortly, get him reconnected. And I can do the same with Jack and Daryl, if I don't see them join here shortly.
Yeah. You're there, Michelle.
Hey, guys.
Okay.
Hi, Michelle.
So we're waiting for...
All right, Vincent, can you hear us all right?
Yeah, I can hear you pretty good.
Great, okay. I think we've got Jack in the meeting already, and I'm going to see if I can't get Daryl connected here.
Okay.
So you're on the phone.
Jack, can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes.
How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great. It's really nice weather. It's 1 below. I'm out cutting wood and doing stuff, doing my outdoor stuff before it gets, I keep expecting it to be 50 below, but it's not doing it.
Yeah, it's been nice.
But I I do want to get them face-to-face meeting together. That's the primary of this meeting. The Board of Game is going to go to Kotzebue on the Western Tier Chairboard proposals, so that's something that you have to do at this meeting this evening.
Oh, and, you know, Jack, after we spoke earlier, Jack, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Yep. After we spoke earlier, I double-checked. Because I had a thought. I was like, I'm not sure if those proposals you mentioned are actually on the docket for Kotzebue. Those, I believe, will be taken up. Those 154, 155, 156 will be taken up in Fairbanks at the meeting in March. So you do actually have a little more time to comment on those.
Okay. Well, I got that from the Western Arctic Chairboard Work Group, and they were saying that they were going to be addressing those proposals in Kotzebue. That's why I thought that.
Yeah, I think proposals 2 and 3 are the Western Arctic herd proposals, and they will be considering those there at that Region 5 meeting.
Well, the ones I saw were proposals 154, 155, and 156.
Oh, okay, maybe that's a different one.
Those are Central Arctic proposals, and they'll be at Fairbanks.
Oh, those are central. I'm wrong.
Well, then I'd say go back to the original plan there, Jack, with for those proposals that Glenn just mentioned. Those, if you wanted to see if you want to take action on any of the proposals that are going to be deliberated on this month in Kotzebue, if you could get comments in by tomorrow, comments, you know, back to me to submit for your AC by tomorrow, those would go in with the on-time comments. I'm having a hard time calling out to Jack Holtzies. I'm wondering if it's because he has already called in. So, Jack Holtzies, are you on the line? I take that as a no. I'm going to try calling him again. All right, that looks like we've got Jack on now. Jack, can you hear us?
I'm great.
Hey, Jack. Sounds like we've got John. We've got you here in the meeting now. Jack Rieckhoff is in here, as well as Vincent Simon. I'm going to try and get Daryl Vent connected if he hasn't called in himself already.
Yeah, he's in Fairbanks. He lives in Fairbanks now. Or works in Fairbanks.
Yeah, he was supposed to call in. I mean, we've communicated with him, and Daryl was supposed to call into this meeting.
All right, that looks like I think I just connected Daryl. Daryl, if you can hear us, I've got you in the meeting. Jack Rieckhoff, Jack Holtzies, and Vincent Simon are also on the call. If you can hear us, Daryl, say something, and then we'll know we've got enough for a quorum.
Yeah, I'm here. Got my phone charger. Okay.
Great. Okay. Well, I'm going to mute myself, and I'll let you take it from here, Jack.
Okay. And I'm happy that we got quorum. And so the main reason I called this meeting is there's a lot of Board of Game proposals that affect this Kekuk River Advisory
area. Back up river, you know, 24. So I would like to have a face-to-face meeting in early February is what I would like to have. And that's the primary reason for this. There's two proposals regarding the Western Arctic caribou, and those are proposals 2 and 3. And I was wondering if the committee members have their green book or their proposal book. You have a proposal book, Beryl?
No, I just I got it on my phone, but I just got in off the plane.
Okay. So, and Jackie, did you get your book? Jack Holchies?
I don't know where it is. I had so much junk in my house.
Oh, okay. And, Vincent, did you get a book?
I got a book and the same problem with Jack.
We're getting old. We're getting old.
We're younger members, too.
Well, I got it. Yeah, I found it.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's basically two proposals tonight that have to be addressed because those are going to be taken up by the Board of Game in Kotzebue in January. I think it starts 19th through the January 25. So we should address those two proposals. Those were the proposals that you were involved with at the Western Arctic Caribou Work Group, Daryl?
Oh, yes.
And so we're going to deal with those. I would like to set a date for this next for a meeting. I would like to know who can attend a meeting February 7th in Fairbanks. I want the meeting in Fairbanks because we get better participation. So can you? So Ben, can you attend that meeting? There you go.
This is Daryl. I'm going to be back on the meeting from the 8th of February.
Okay, you can attend on the 8th?
I could attend on the 9th. I'll be coming back on the 8th.
Now, where are you going? Where are you going?
We got a meeting down the States.
Oh, okay. Let me get a calendar here.
When is this meeting?
So we would like to have a meeting next month, and we need to get a meeting together. And early February is a good time frame to do it because it's about a month out from the Board of Game meeting in Fairbanks. So you can attend a meeting on the 9th, Daryl.
Yes, I could attend the meeting on the 9th.
Okay, what about you, Jackie?
Yeah.
And Vincent?
Yes.
Okay. And?
Hey, I have a question. It's too late to put in a proposal, huh? Or you can try to make a proposal for building nuisance for our region.
It's past the proposal time. There's a proposal book, and we want to address the proposals that are going to be before the Board of Game. We're not going to take up alternate proposals. You can request an agenda change request for that, but they won't even think about that until after July. They take the proposals, agenda change request after July 1.
Yeah.
So and then
And Jack, sorry to interrupt.
We have other people on the line or what?
I was going to say, yeah, this is Kyle with Ford Support. And just a reminder for the folks who are joining by phone, if you're not able to mute your phone from your end, you can press *6 on your phone, and that'll toggle the mute for the teleconference. But you'll have to press *6 again to unmute. So I think we're getting a little bit of background noise bleeding in from Jackie.
Yeah, reason I wanted to call an emergency, service with Fish Board of Game, or even with the Commissioner of Game. See if we could, I think we could do that.
We can make an agenda change request. But that has to be submitted after July 1. But we can do that at this meeting. We can write up a change request proposal. But they're not going to take anything up right now. That's not going to happen.
Okay.
And I'm sorry to interject again. This is Kyle with Board Support. I do wonder if maybe what Jack Holtz is referring to, there is the emergency petition process, which could be submitted.
Yeah, that's what I want to do.
So if that is the route that the safety would like to take, I'd be happy to work with you kind of after you get the heart or the intent of that petition, and I'd help you get that format directly to submit to the board.
So, but we can take that up We can take it up at this meeting that we're trying to get together on the 9th of February.
Okay.
So we can address that at that meeting. But that has some technical problems. But anyway, we can try that. So
okay.
Michelle, are you on here also? You're here.
And Jack, I might recommend that, I don't know if I heard you actually call the meeting to order, but I might recommend you kind of kick off with a roll call, and it does look like we've got quite a few guests on if you want to ask folks to introduce themselves as well.
Okay. So I'm just laying out what the meeting's about to maintain interest. So we're going to call roll. So I'm Jack Rieckhoff here. I'm a chair. I have an undesignated seat, uncontested. We have Daryl Bennett. You're here still, right, Daryl?
Yes, I'm here.
Who's Leo? Jack Holtz.
Yes.
Vincent Simon. Alec Hackett.
Yes. Yes.
Charles Ned, are you here? And he's not. And Hugh Beifelt from Hughes. And I sent Hugh Beifelt the agenda the other day through his email, but I didn't get a response. And then Michelle, tapped the wrong button here.
Hi, Jack. It's Michelle.
So I would like to appoint you as an alternate to this committee.
Yeah, that sounds good, Jack.
Michelle, who?
Michelle, I'm from Hughes. My mom is Hazel Beatus. My grandma and grandpa are the late Sophie Beatus and Henry Beatus of Hughes.
Oh, okay. What's your last name?
It's Quillen. It should say on the... But for everyone on the phone, it's Quillin.
Thank you.
Jack, I don't know if you're aware, but you're muted if you're trying to talk or communicate.
I've accidentally tapped drive mode on my phone, and I don't know how to get out of that. I need to be able to use the other parts of this thing. How do you get out of drive mode? Does anybody know that?
I'm afraid I haven't run into that before, Jack. I'd say if there's not a better way, you could just leave the meeting and rejoin.
I'll try that.
Okay.
I accidentally tapped the wrong one.
You're on.
Hey, yeah, I think Jack Rieckhoff will be rejoining in just a moment, so please stay patient, folks.
So, I think I'm back now.
Yep, so we've got you, Jack. Thank you.
Okay. So is that agreeable with the committee? I would like to appoint Michelle as an alternate to maintain continuity of this committee. She attends a lot of meetings. She's very intelligent. She's from Hughes, knows a lot of the issues. Is that okay with the committee members?
It's okay with me, Vincent.
Okay, Daryl?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yep. That's
Jack?
Okay.
Yep, Paul Cheese?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Michelle will be an alternate and would like to continue to attend these meetings. So now we have quorum. Our quorum is four, so we have quorum. Introduction of guests, and I would like to go through the participants on the phone on the call here. Would you like to introduce yourself? I have some of the I see phone numbers and certain people here, but you want to introduce yourselves? Those on the Zoom call.
Hi, Mr. Chair. I can start. My name is Olivia Hanafi Irwin. I am the co-chair of the Minto Ninana Advisory Committee, along with Carl Franks from Minto. I am working closely with Michelle very recently, and so I look forward to hearing what your advisory committee has to say about some of the upcoming proposals for our region. Thank you all.
Okay. All right. Next.
Yeah, this is Glenn Stout with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. I'm the Galena Area Biologist.
All right, Glenn. Thanks so much.
Hi, everybody. My name is Cade Kellum. I'm the Galena Assistant Area Biologist. Yeah, nice to be here.
Thank you.
Hey everybody, Mark Nelson here, Northeast Area Biologist. Most of Unit 25 and 26 B and C are the game management units I handle, and Jordan is on here as well if you want to go next.
Hi, I'm Jordan Zdunsky. I'm the Assistant Area Biologist for the Northeast area.
Okay, thank you, Jordan. And
this is John Lozeski here, Fairbanks Advisory Committee, Western Arctic Caribou Working Group member. I ran into you this fall up on Fall Road moose hunting.
All right, John. Thanks for calling in. Anybody else?
Hi, this is Marcy Okada.
Marcy? Thank you, Marcy.
Hi, this is Marcy Okada with Gates of the Arctic National Park and Preserve.
right. Thank you.
And hi, Jack. Sorry, Marcy, I talked over you. This is Dina Down with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, the Yukon River Summer Season Manager. I manage the Chinook and Summercome Salmon Runs in the Yukon area. And just listening online, if you guys have any questions about 2023 or any of the meetings that are coming up, up in the spring for the summer, for the salmon.
Okay, thank you, Dina.
And hi, Jack and members of the AC. This is Christy Gleason. I'm with Alaska Department of Fish and Game in Fairbanks, and I'm the Yukon River Fall Season Manager. So I work with Dina, but I manage the fall chum and the coho. And if you guys want to report a quick report of the 2023 season, we're happy to share with you our final results in the harvest.
I would like the fisheries reports. We're trying to get this face-to-face meeting on February 9, and I would like to have that those in person. Can fishery staff attend that meeting, the 9th of February?
Yep, this is Chrissy. I can attend that one. I'll be here in Fairbanks, and we can save our reports for then.
Okay.
And hi, Jack. I don't have my calendar in front of me, but that would be great. It would be excellent to see everybody in person.
Yeah. I think that'll be a lot better to have those in person. And who else do we have on the phone?
Hi, everyone. Good evening. This is Erin Julianis with the Bureau of Land Management in Fairbanks.
Okay, Erin. Thank you. So is that everybody now?
Hi, this is CCL. I'm in the Galena Fishing Game office.
Say your name again. I missed that.
Sorry, this is Yael. I run the Fishing Game office. I apologize. My connection's not right. In Galena.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay, thank you. So does that cover everybody on the phone?
Hey, Mr. Chair. Good evening, Mr. Chair, and committee members. This is Jeremy Hathor with U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service in Galena.
Okay, Jeremy. Okay, thanks so much.
And this is Kyle Campbell. This is Kyle Campbell with the Board Support Section for Fish and Game, calling in from Windy Kodiak down here for the Board of Fisheries meeting. And, Jack, it looks like I'm not sure if she was able to connect her audio. It looks like she's got her audio now connected. I do see Amanda Pope from the Yukon Flats Advisor Committee on the list here as well, and I think maybe she now has her audio connected.
Okay, are you on there, Amanda?
Yes, I am. Hello.
Okay. Thanks, Amanda. Appreciate it. Okay. Is that everybody now? So that covers the guests and staff that's present. And basically, this agenda is not completely correct. Now, the first thing I would like to have on this we've agreed on that February 9 meeting in Fairbanks face-to-face, and you're able to attend that also, Michelle?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So we've agreed on that. That's the primary reason for this meeting, this teleconference meeting. We don't have our minutes produced yet. For the April 11, 2023, I would like to have those available for our face-to-face meeting. And we have basically those two Western Arctic Caribou work group proposals to go over that the board is going to meet before our February 9 meeting. That would be proposals 2 and 3 in the Board of Game book. And and I would like to take up all the other proposals at our face-to-face meeting in the agency reports is what I would like to do. So this meeting here, I wanted it just to be short and sweet, and just to set out the meeting date to get it in, get an agreement among the committee members on attendance. Any other insertions into this agenda we're working through, committee members? No? So, chairperson's report. I see ADF and G staff reports. Can you attend the meeting for February 9, Glenn?
Yeah, you bet, Jack. No problem.
Okay. I think that would be a lot better to have that in person. All of those reports in person.
You bet.
The chairperson report, I listened into the board of game discussions on Dull Sheep and Unit 19C. We also had I'm on the gate for the Arts Assistance Resource Commission, and we had Brad Windling. They're doing a sheep study in this area in the Central Brooks Range. He made a presentation at the Gates Bear Subsistence Resource Commission. And so that's a very interesting study. It's in its first, they just deployed collars. We have pretty good concerns about the Dall sheep population. I'm on the Western Tier Regional Advisory Council. We addressed these two Western Arctic Caribou Work Group proposals at our meeting. And we also had acting director of wildlife conservation, Scott Ryan. Yeah, I'm bad with names. Don't have it before me. So we had a real good meeting with interacting with Alex Hansen. He's the area biologist that are in charge of Western Arctic Caribou Herd. Anyway, good interactions with him discussing these various aspects of proposals. So any questions for me on what's been going on with the chair and this advisory committee? I wanted to have this meeting. I tried to get this meeting scheduled for now so that we could get a face-to-face meeting. We actually haven't met face-to-face for several years. I think it's very important that this committee comes together, and I would like to get other people to come to the meeting also. I would like to get other members, so I'd like to get city councils or tribal councils to make appointments. We have lack for Hughes. I'm having a hard time getting a hold of Huey Bodyfelt. The Latina has no representation. Alicacket is basically one member short right now. And Bettles, Evansville has no appointment. So before our next meeting, I would like those tribal councils to make appointments to fill this advisory committee better.
And Jack, one quick correction. This is again Kyle from Board Support. So it is important that those seats are filled by election, not appointment. This has come up a few times with other advisory committees. And so because those are community designated seats, those elections do not need to happen during a scheduled advisory committee meeting. So those elections could happen as part of a regularly scheduled village council or other community meeting or event. But it is important that difference in word appointment versus election. It is also required that 14 days public notice be given within the community prior to holding those elections. And I'd be happy to take any questions either during the meeting or after, and I'd be happy to work with any of those community organizations to get those seats filled.
So the committee, as chair, I would like, if you could, contact those tribal and village councils, city councils. Some communities work strictly off the city, and try tell them, you know, if you could give them notification that we have plenty of time. We have a 14-day lead before our next meeting. We actually have about a month, and so if they can make an election to appoint somebody from their community to this committee, I would appreciate that. I don't know that they realize how important that really is. So, but I'm not sure that, you know, the messages are getting through either. Stuff gets lost in the shuffle. So that kind of covers my aspects of what I've been doing. I'm tracking this. I'm watching what the board game is doing with Unit 19C, because that's going to sort of set up a template for how sheep are managed in the state in the near future. The Western Tier Regional Advisory Council made an agenda change request to the board, State Board of Game, to eliminate the criteria of counting rings in the horns of sheep, and the board was 6 members. They split, and so that proposal failed. And the board wants a statewide proposal submitted for next year. So that's, but the sheep problem in the Brooks Range here is just as bad as it is in some of the other mountain ranges. So any other comments or questions from the committee members?
Yeah, Kyle, this is Jack Walters.
Go ahead, Jack.
Hey, on that information that you have, that could see if we could open our Moosehunt early, could you bring that to the meeting?
Absolutely, yeah. I'll get some more information together on the emergency petition process. I've only handled a couple of them in the past, so I wouldn't be able to speak to it in too much detail tonight, but I will definitely prepare some information and maybe request that the Board of Game Executive Director, Christy Tibbles, is able to at least call into that meeting on February 9th.
Yeah. You know, we got an extension to start, but by then, all the moose will really stink. So I think it would be better if we try to get a early moose hunt instead of a later moose hunt. It would benefit the people better. Okay, thank you. I sure like that information, though.
We can address that. We can discuss that at our meeting. What dates and so forth you want to submit as an emergency action. And so we can
talk about that. Yeah, Greenland starts in August too. So it would be okay if we start at the same time.
Right. Do you have a comment on that, Glenn? August.
Yeah, we can certainly talk about that at that face-to-face meeting. The point that I just wanted to let you know about, Jack, is there is an ACR that's Proposal 207, and maybe Kyle has a copy of that, but I think that proposal is the proposal you're talking about as far as eliminating the legal sheep by age that you were curious about. So that, I think, is Proposal 207, and it is going to be considered at the Region 3 meeting.
Didn't you submit that, Jack? Do you have any updates on that? I know they didn't pass the ACR, but what about the 207? Is that still?
Well, when that was dropped and it didn't actually get included in the book that was sent out, because there was confusion at board support I didn't get the number. That's the first time I've heard the number. But that's a regional proposal, and the board is not inclined to pass it as I wanted it to be in the regional book so that the public can talk about it, think about it, the issue. And the board is wanting to do it. If they're going to do it, they want to do it the statewide. And so I don't have high hopes for 207 passing on a regional level. But I did want it in the book so that the eight other advisory committees can look at it and start thinking about it, because it's a great issue. I watched people on Facebook. This guy took his son hunting. It was his first sheep. He's 14 years old. It was a 7-year-old ram, and he was like bragging about it on Facebook. And of course it got taken away. So this is a chronic problem. There's hunters misidentifying the age of sheep in the field. And so there's a lot of sheep that are not recovered. Once they find out what it is, that happens with moose all the time. And so I don't have high hopes for 207. 207 was strictly proposed to get the issue on the table. I feel that the public has got to think about how we're going to address this declining sheep population. The numbers are actually in retraction still. So, but yeah, 207 will be probably maybe tabled or something by the board. But I don't think the board members were discussing a statewide proposal when they were discussing the ACR. So thanks for that number, Glenn. I don't actually have that. I should go online and find that one. It didn't get included in the green book. That's why I forgot about that. I didn't know what the assigned number was. So any other questions and comments? We do have to address two caribou proposals at this. Go ahead.
It's in Simon Alacak.
Go ahead.
I have a question about if there's a environmental impact statement survey being done above Alacacket for like fish, moose, caribou, bear, all sorts of fish, for the aid road to be, before the aid road's put in, was there any studies being done?
I'm not familiar with all the various studies. I know they're doing archaeological work. They say they're going to do some biological parameter stuff. Some of the agencies were going to do that. But I don't know if the extent of what those are. That's something Ada would have to answer. And we could, at the meeting, the upcoming meeting, we could make a request from Ada regarding what kind of EIS kind of stuff that they're doing. There's go ahead.
It would be good if they do studies, because it would have an impact of brown hair, hues, who's there, all the way down to the mouth of the Yukon, or whatever goes on above here.
Right.
There could be many impacts.
Go ahead.
I wonder if he's referring to Ambler Road, and the EIS for that was released, I think, last fall.
The EIS was released, that was under the BLM. I don't know what ADA's really doing. The BLM had an EIS and a supplementary EIS that they completed last month. But I don't know what ADA is doing about whether they do those same kind of things on state land. Those are strictly the federal lands. So I don't know what ADA is doing as far as the state land. We could ask them.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
Okay. Any other committee members' comments?
Yeah, there's Daryl.
Go ahead, Daryl.
Yeah, I just had some issues with when we were discussing the Indo Cable Working Group up there for the Pobuck River area. And we're talking about, you know, they had to limit cow harvest, but I didn't want it to really fall on how they were talking about, you know, why it was declining. And basically, you kill off a herd by killing off all the leaders in the herd, and that's when you start hunting the big caribou bulls or the big cows. They're killing off the group, and I just, you know, didn't like the way that it turned out. You know, they were saying that it was all the people killing off the cows was going to be a problem, you know, so they were trying to limit the amount of cows. But I just want to make it noted that, you know, if you kill off a lot of the big bulls, you're killing off a herd. And that's how a lot of our issues start, is that we kill off everything that's big, and it really affects our whole herd. And right now they're in a big decline because that herd has no more big bulls right now. They've been, you know, diverting the whole herd by shooting at the big, you know, all the, trying to get those big, you know, the big game hunters are really putting an impact on that herd. Now, they did that with the 40 mile, and, you know, it's everything is really drastically declining because we don't try to address that, you know, this primary reason these animals are there is because they're being led by leaders, and we can't just say that people are shooting off the leaders, they're going to survive. It has to be, you know, like they said, they got biologists and everything that do studies. I don't hear anything about that when it comes down to it. It's all about, you know, herd size and population, but nothing that has to do with making sure that the herd will be able to sustain all this killing that's going on in there. So I just want to make sure that, you know, if we're going into that proposal, I brought that up there at that meeting. So let you know.
Okay. And I appreciate you attending that meeting, Daryl. I thought you did a great job. That is another thing that we have to do is confirm our representative to the Western Arctic Caribou Work Group. And Daryl was representing the Tiger Gerber Advisory Committee. I couldn't attend. Our previous representative was Pollock Simon, but he's had health issues and has not been able to attend meetings. So I feel that confident with Daryl's representing this advisory committee. And should we take a vote on that at our next meeting, or can we do that right now, Kyle? Kyle?
Sorry, could you repeat that?
The question is, should we make designate Daryl or another member, but Daryl's done a great job for this advisory committee to the Western Arctic Caribou Work Group. Can we do that right now?
Absolutely. That would just take a motion, like any other action from the advisory committee.
Right. So I would like to have someone make a motion to confirm Daryl Vent Senior as the representative to the Western Arctic Caribou Work Group. Would someone like to make that motion?
It's Vincent. I make a motion.
Oh, Vincent. All right.
Yeah. I second it.
Okay. Any further discussion? Hearing none, do we have a question? Question on the vote?
Call for question.
Call for question. Those in favor of confirming Daryl Vent Sr. as the representative to the Western Arctic
Chair of the work group from the Keokuk River Advisory Committee, signify by saying aye. Aye. Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None? Okay. Thanks so much for doing that for us, Daryl. Appreciate that.
Yep, thanks for letting me fish by food.
So now we have these two Caribou proposals from the Western Arctic Caribou Work Group. And proposal two is to reduce the bag limit for taking caribou in Unit 21D, Remainder 22, 23, 24B, 24C, 24D, and 26A to 4 caribou per year, and only one may be a cow. So it's basically laying out the bag limit. Current bag limit is 5 caribou per day. And the Western Arctic Caribou Work Group is very concerned about this herd's decline. And I'm extremely concerned the herd has declined by 12,000 from 164,000 to what? To 152,000. So I'm concerned about the continued decline of the herd. Caribou don't have a calf until they're typically 3 years of age. They only have one calf. They never have twins, unlike moose. So this herd has been in recession. We've had fairly poor calf recruitments. And it's not keeping up with the current harvest, and especially for cows. And so this is the proposal, is to reduce the bag limit to four caribou and per year, no more than one, maybe a cow. When this was discussed under a special action request by the Western Tier Regional Advisory Council, the public, most people in villages, they don't understand that it's not per, the bag limit's not 4 for the family. It's 4 per hunter, and no more than one may be a cow. So if you got a bunch of kids, each kid can kill 4 caribou, and no more than one of those can be a cow. So it's a kind of a lot of meat. And I used to have 4 kids. My kids and I killed 20 caribou. That's a heck of a lot of meat. If you're salvaging all the meat, that's a lot of meat. But we got to cut back on killing cows. Right now, you can kill 5 cows every day. So that has to stop. So that's my position on that proposal. Any other questions on that proposal too, which will be reviewed by the Board of Game and Cockatoo coming up at the end of this month. Any questions or comments on the proposal?
Yes, this is Darryl.
Go ahead, Darryl.
Yeah, like I mentioned in there, you know, we're talking about these bulls that were in the big breed, and the cows that, you know, that lead the pack. I'm concerned about, you know, the eggs on those bulls. If we want to try to save that herd, we need to try to address that. They need to keep that bull at a certain age. To get them 8 years or older, that's like killing off the leaders right there. So I was concerned about that, and I told them that in the meeting, just letting you know.
That would be more addressed in Proposal 3 by the Western Tier, the Western Arctic Caribou Work Group is addressing that with the closing bull hunting.
Yeah, that's correct. But I just wanted to make sure that was specified in there. Thanks.
And we also have John from the Fairbanks AC on here. Do you have comments on this proposal before we go into any further with the motion to adopt? Are you still there, John?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm still here, Jack.
Did you have any comments?
No, I have no comments.
As a work group member. Okay, thank you.
The working
so
group
the chairman of chain of motion to...
Jack,
the,
this is Glenn.
Speaking? Okay, go ahead, Glenn.
Yeah, Jack, I just wanted you to... you guys to understand exactly how this is going to kind of play out. Proposal number two and its companion proposal to the Region 3 meeting is Proposal 139. The way it is right now, the preliminary recommendation from the department for Proposal number two is to support that proposal, but they're requesting that the board delay any action on the Region 3 areas until the Region 3 meeting. And so the Region 3 areas that are part of that proposal are Units 21D, 24, B, C, and D. And so the board is going to take up Proposal 2, but they're going to wait and delay their final decision until they hear the rest of the proposal at the Region 3 meeting.
Okay.
As far as the preliminary recommendations on the Region 3 side of that proposal, we're neutral on it. And primarily it's because as the herd recedes, the herd is essentially not present in those areas. But we want to leave it open for opportunity for other herds that are expanding, like the porcupine, central, or Teshupuk herds that come down into Unit 24. From the north. So our recommendation is neutral, but we believe that there is very little harvest that goes on unless the herds are actually here. So reducing that season is more or less superficial in that it doesn't have a real impact on actual harvest.
So the board the proposal number two is strictly going to address units 22, 23, and 26 portions of 26A. And yeah. we could hold off to our face-to-face meeting and just address proposal 139.
Yeah, unless you want to have specific comments on those 22, 23, 26 portions of that hunt.
Okay. Well, I do feel as a committee member that it's imperative to reduce harvest on cow caribou. And so I would like that to be on the table on coffee for the board to understand that at least I'm going to vote in favor of proposal two. And so the board recognizes that there are other advisory committees that actually have skin in the game with this herd. It doesn't just live in 26A and 23. That's what a lot of people in the northwest part of Alaska seem to think it lives over there. But that herd has had significant presence in the, especially the northern portion of Unit 24 over the last several years, and starting about 1997. So I gotta get my external charger for a second. My phone's gonna go dead on me. So the chair will entertain a motion to adopt Proposal 2 to send our wishes forward to the Board of Game. It's going to be in Kotzebue at the end of this month. And we should also address Proposal 139 and at our face-to-face meeting. So anybody going to make a motion to adopt Proposal 2? That should be you, Daryl.
Yeah, so moved. This is Daryl. So
moved by Daryl. Do I have a second?
Vincent, I second.
Okay. Any further discussion? I think we need justification. You know, basically, my concern is the continued decline from 490,000 to 152,000, and taking cows at this time. If a moose population was falling at those weights year after year after year, there'd be zero cow hunting. Period. Yeah, right, Glenn. And so, for some reason, people think you can continue to kill cows at will. And it's just like, that's not the way this animal works. Here we have one calf. We have to be very cautious about cow harvesting, especially on a declining population. So that'd be the main concern. The other statement I would like for the record is that 4 caribou per person, per hunter, not by family, but per hunter. The bigger the family, the more hunters they have. They just, it's 4 caribou is a lot of meat. If I had 4 caribou, that's a heck of a lot of meat among fish and other stuff that you're also harvesting. So I don't feel that 4 caribou is a burden to people, especially with 3 bulls and 1 cow. Any other statements for the record for the Board of Game in Cottonview?
Hey, Jack, this is Glenn. Maybe I could ask you a question, too, just to reflect a little bit more on the enforcement of the cow harvest.
Well, I mean, a lot of caribou are getting killed in boats. The enforcement shows up and the boat's got 2 hunters in there and they got 8 caribou and 3 of them are cows and they're won over. I mean, the enforcement is always going to be a problem. I don't. There's people do all kinds of illegal stuff, but if they're killing, if they got 4 caribou, and one is more than one is a cow, then that could get a citation. It at least has to be in regulation. Otherwise, we have nothing. We can't just, the good old days of 5 caribou a day are going away rapidly. I'm afraid that within a few years, we'll be on 1 bull or some very limited number of caribou. This herd did get down to 75,000 back in the 70s, and I'm old enough to remember that. We had locking tags for the bull caribou also. So enforcement is, it could be a challenge, but it's always a challenge. Does that answer your question, Glenn?
Yeah, thank you. I just appreciated a little bit of input on that issue and the importance.
All right. A protracted long season like that, it'd be harder to enforce over time, but still, even if there are a lot of ethical hunters, if they know they can't only kill 1 cow, they won't kill more than one. There are people that they're starting to see that they got a real problem. In fact, many people in Unit 23, I think, are getting to be a crisis and are real concerned about it. That's why the Western Arctic Cable Work Group is actually making this proposal. Even though there was a lot of pushback, we beat on the hornet nest last spring with a special action request that was denied, but it brought the issue forward so people understand. There was about a third of people on the call didn't even know the Western herd was in decline. The education is very necessary for this whole proposal. So the department and the federal subsistence board, Office of Subsistence Management has to work with the public on understanding the need for these conservation measures. So that's about all I have on that.
Thank you. Yeah, I was going to also mention one more thing, and I know it came up at the Western Interior RAC meeting as far as the 26A portion of that proposal. And in all likelihood, there will be a line developed that will exclude the eastern, approximately half of that area, because those residents typically harvest mostly Teshupuk and Central Arctic animals. And so that is likely also to come up when they deliberate on proposal number two.
At the Western Arctic Caribou Work Group, they portrayed those proposals, those delineations. Basically, it was from the river that comes in by Wainwright, basically drew straight down to the divide of the Brooks Range, but the work group didn't delineate yet where in Unit 26A. And I feel that the board, Western Interior Regional Advisory Council, delineated that line to allow harvest of Teshupuk and Central Arctic to the east. It's predominantly, and that's in fact, Brian Pearson from North Slope Borough Wildlife Department portrayed the various harvests to the Western Arctic Caribou Work Group, and Wainwright takes a lot of caribou. But they're right on that boundary. They could go east and harvest Teshupuk caribou, but going west, they would have to be more restrained. And so, and almost all the caribou taken in Point Hope are Western Arctic. But they have a high bull take, because their caribou are there predominantly in the summertime, in the spring, summer through fall. So I do feel that the line, in fact, the comment I would like to make on this proposal too is that line be delineated from basically Wainwright in west. And that's what Alex Hansen was telling us. But if you look at the telemetry data, the Western herd predominantly is to the west of that line. Teshupuk occasionally goes over that line, but not nearly as great. And Teshupuk has a lot of harvest. So I appreciate you bringing up that delineation of that boundary. I do feel the board is going to have to make some hard decisions on that one. And North Slope is going to be there advocating for, basically no unit 26A is what they would like. But that's the camp. The caribou would have at the North Slope for a long periods of time. So I think that should be in their justification, a delineation of a boundary from Wainwright south of some type. And we were kind of leaving that open at the Western Interior Council meeting to giving board discretion on fine tuning that boundary by river systems, etc. But I do appreciate you bringing that up, Glenn. Any other comments from the, or do we have a motion on the table? And any further comments? Hearing none? Those in favor of proposal 2, signify by saying aye, or I'll call roll call. I believe roll call.
Aye.
Daryl? So aye. Daryl? Jackie?
Aye.
Vincent?
Aye.
And myself? Yes. And can Michelle vote, Kyle, question for you as an alternate?
I had to find the unmute there. Because you do have at least one member absent, the alternate would can sit in their place and vote.
Okay. Michelle, your vote?
Aye.
Okay. And so all the advisory committees and unanimous support of Proposal 2 with the discussed justifications. The other proposal is Proposal 3, and the proposal is to close non-resident caribou hunting in Unit 21D, remainder 22, 23, 24B, remainder 24C, 24D, 26A, as follows. The Western Area Caribou Work Group proposes to close hunting in these units to non-Alaska residents. And so it would be non-resident hunters currently has one bull harvest. They're proposing no open season. And so they deliberated, the Western Arctic Caribou Work Group deliberated that. And I don't recall the votes, but there were people who opposed this proposal, but the proposal carried. And they reaffirmed this proposal. So the chair will entertain a motion to adopt Proposal 3 for discussion. Somebody like to make a motion?
So moved.
That's you, Vincent? Or Daryl?
No, it's Daryl.
I make a motion.
Okay, Daryl?
Second.
And who's second?
There's Daryl.
I second.
Oh, okay.
Daryl motion, and who's the second? You're walking over each other.
Vincent.
All right, roger that. All right. And so, do you want to speak to this proposal, Daryl? You're at that meeting, and your concerns about the large bull component.
Yeah, I really, didn't like the idea that we're trying to include the hunt on this bull when we're really trying to protect this caribou population. I mean, it's already having a big struggle because the bulls are not breeding right. The younger ones are breeding. We get more predation. But we need to try to get the bull age population back that's missing in this component. So we have to try to address this problem before we can include more hunting on the bulls, because the bulls are being drastically reduced, and they're starting to notice that they're getting smaller in size. So that tells me that we're over hunting the bigger, larger bulls. And I mentioned that those are the breeder bulls. That the ones that breed with the cows, and we really want to get this through, that we need to try to address this problem. So a lot of the hunters that hunt caribou up in the north area, they don't like the bigger bulls because those are too hard to eat. They want a couple year of the younger bulls, not the older ones.
So Daryl and I both attended the caribou ungulate workshop down in Anchorage last May, early May. There were 600 participants. I attended many of the reindeer herders' presentations, and I learned some significant. I knew these things, but they quantified that bull caribou don't get skeletally mature until they're 4.5 years old. So in the fall, they're 5 years of age. And reindeer herders do not breed younger bulls to their cows. And I've had reindeer herders tell me that they breed one large bull. They consider those large bulls. And that's what Lane Adams, who did a lot of work inside of Denali Park in an unhunted population, large bulls are 5 years old and older. Young bulls are 1 to 2.
and medium-sized bulls are basically three to four. So when they do age composition, that's what that did was quantify what those age classes are. In Denali National Park, 5-year-old bulls dominated the breeding. Large bulls do most of the breeding. They have the fat reserves, they got heavy fat reserves, and they dominate the breeding. Young bulls harass cows, and they basically, the cows reject those, and so that protracts this breeding. The younger bulls run their fat off, and they have higher mortality. So, Mel Chapman is a perfect example. They killed the bull-cow ratio down to 14 bulls per 100 cows in 2007, and they only had one large bull per 100 cows. The herd goes into reproductive failure. Calf production goes way down. Young bulls are dying, winter stressing, and dying because they're running their fat reserves off. There's no large bulls to take that breeding stress. So Daryl's exactly right. Scandinavia's got real data on what it takes to breed range bertrandis. And so I would like to, I feel that there needs to be a lot more work done on maintaining large bull components for breeding. They're not just for pictures. There was somebody at that meeting said that we have a few large bulls around because people want to see them and take pictures of them. It's like, no, that's not what reindeer herders do. You don't get any reproduction off of that. There's reindeer herders on the Surrey Peninsula. Well, I totally agree with that. So I agree with Daryl that I would like to see the composition for the Western Arctic caribou herd, what the bull cow, large bull component is. That's the most important component. They're not an expendable component. You have to maintain large bulls in the population. Otherwise, you get really poor recruitments, weak recruitments. Late-born calves are lighter. They don't come to their first estrus on time. And when they're 3 years of age, they protract their estruses out. It goes into a big mess. And so there's a lot of work that has to be done in the understanding of caribou that's already been done in Scandinavia. So I agree with Daryl. You know, protection of the large bulls at this time on a declining population. We've had such poor recruitments. We don't have a lot of recruiting large bulls coming in. So, but I don't have the data before me, but I do feel that the Board of Game should look seriously at the large bull component and addressing Proposal 3 submitted by the Western Arctic Caribou Work Group. So we have the proposal before us. Any further discussion?
Jack, this is Glenn.
Go ahead, Glenn.
Yeah, I just want to repeat the similar statement regarding Proposal 3 and its companion proposal number 140. And my understanding is they're going to address it the same way. They will basically ask the board to defer the final decision on the proposal so the Region 3 GMUs can be considered at the Region 3 meeting.
I appreciate that clarification. I do feel that these comments, they're going to make some kind of ruling for 23 and 26A. Or are they not going to make any, they're not going to adopt anything and just take comments over there and copy you? Is that what they're doing over there? Or are they going to actually adopt certain portions of these proposals?
Well, the way the A&R reads, coming from the department, is the department is going to recommend that they delay it before they move to final vote. So, essentially, they're going to discuss the proposal here, input from Region 5, but the final proposal, I think, if the board decides it this way, that we can't say for sure what the board will decide to do, but that's kind of what the department's recommendation is.
Okay, I understand now. That clarifies that. So basically, they're going to be taking extensive comments at this meeting over there and deferring until the interior meeting on the final vote. Okay, that's clear. Thank you.
Hey, Jack, it's John Wazensky here.
Oh, go ahead.
So I went to the board supported that. What I heard a lot of in the hallway and afterwards is that we all know that the board of game is very strongly guide-friendly and guide-heavy, that they're not going to do anything on this just because they're not going to shoot themselves in the foot by not allowing non-residents to come hunt there, and that's their bread and butter, is non-residents.
True.
So there's very few guided. One of the transporters was there. I think he said he has an average of about 1 to 2 Alaska residents unguided hunts out there.
Right.
And the board of game being, you know, very guide-friendly, guide-heavy, this is probably not going to go very far. Unfortunately.
But if the discussion point to bring out, and I would like to attend the board of game meeting, the regional meeting in Fairbanks, and I would like to discuss the necessity of maintaining large bulls in the population. You can look at Nelshina, and you can look at Nelshatna, and when you basically drop below 5 large bulls per 100 cows, the herd starts to really going downhill fast. And your young bull, if you graph the young bulls in Nelshatna, you will see that they didn't recruit. They were wearing themselves out trying to breed these cows. They have poor calf weights, poor calf survivals, and they had their younger bulls were dying. So the department and the board need to get their act together on this bull, these large bulls. I heard statements at the ungulate meeting that large bulls were just necessary for photos. It's like, yeah, right. I assume they knew, they understood the importance of large bulls in the breeding population. But apparently they don't understand that part. It's a research issue. We have the data in Nelshatna. We have real good composition data. It's a template of how you destroy a caribou herd by killing all the large bulls in the herd and having virtually no recruitment coming up. We had 14 bulls per 100 cows with one large bull per 100 cow. And the herd staggered and went completely over cliff from 200,000 to 22,500. And is now at 11,800. We're shooting bears trying to get this herd back. So I do feel that this proposal, yeah, that this board might not adopt it, but if this board hears Daryl or myself talking about the necessity of having 5-year-old bulls in the population and maintaining a large bull component, your breeding component, then maybe the management will start to change for the better for caribou management. So I'm gonna go ahead, Daryl.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, we have to start somewhere, because if we don't start trying to address the problem, the state is not going to address it. We know, like he said, you know, they're guide friendly, and we have to work our way into this regime that, you know, that they're annihilating our caribou. I mean, if we don't address it now, you know, there's not going to be no more caribou. But, you know, like you said, you know, we have to keep hammering on. That's what I've been trying to do. You know, I've been trying to make sure that we get our voices heard. We're recommending to them that, you know, hey, this is how you could save a herd. But if they are too much into money, that there ain't going to be no money there. They have to know that they got to switch hands once in a while. And they can't just go with the same way that they've been trying to treat everybody else. They know it hasn't worked. They did that with the fish. They did that with our caribou, our moose one year in the Hoosley area. It's always hard. And down in the lower 48, you know, Montana area, their moose are small enough. They came back, all right, but they're not the same size.
So I'm supportive of proposal 3. I do feel that
the board needs to be aware that the non-residents are trying to take the largest bulls in the population. If we're not recruiting bulls to the older age classes, they should at least be asking the department the correct questions. I don't think the board actually knows what question to ask, so we will ask the question. The question is, how many five-year-old bulls and older does it take to maintain the population? Do we have excess older bulls to provide for non-resident use in conjunction with subsistence use? That's the question. If I were on the board again, that's the question I would ask. Where do you get the answers? Scandinavia and from reindeer herders. They'll tell you what the answers are. So, any further discussions? You have any comments, Michelle?
Yeah, I think, I don't recall how the Fairbanks AC voted in support of these proposals, but I think having AC support from Fairbanks, Anchorage, from multiple ACs would greatly impact the decision-making of the board, even though they are very much swayed towards commercial interests. And it would be, I think also the department, they have power in making recommendations, whether they recommend or stay neutral, and just seeing the neutral positions on matters that are very important, I think it's negligent and not responsible. I think that they have a responsibility to protect subsistence and Alaska's resources for everyone. And before we start limiting residents, I think that we need to first limit non-resident opportunities. That's the way that things have always been. So I think this is a step in the right direction. And, yeah, hopefully we could get a lot of support on this and maybe even put together a good written comment and write good testimony on this, because it is my people depend on caribou very heavily. I mean, that's why we're the caribou clan. That's about all I have to say on that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Michelle. Appreciate the comments. Go ahead.
Comments. I think Fish and Game was going to say neutral or take no action, because they said, I think if I remember correctly, their non-resident take is around 300 to 350 bulls per year, which Fish and Game said was biologically insignificant. Which I agree with Michelle, but I think Fish and Game is kind of staying out of it, staying neutral, just because they said it's biologically insignificant, that those few mature bulls being taken.
And it reminds me of the letter that OSM wrote to Area M on them having no impact on subsistence. But I think that to say that non-resident hunting has no impact on subsistence is not true. And especially in these situations where we really need to start taking steps towards helping this population return. And caribou don't recognize GMU lines either. They don't know boundaries. So I just think that those types of positions need to be handled better for the sake of everybody. And yeah, I just think it's not true to say that they have no biological impact on the herd or subsistence, no matter how small it is or not small. Especially if they're harvesting the large breeder bulls of the herd.
So
yeah, I agree.
Oh, go ahead, John.
I agree with Michelle 100%.
The reality is, proposal two is to reduce the bag limit on cows dramatically, but shift it towards bull harvest. If breeding bulls, larger bulls, are going to become a premium for the subsistence users, we may not have enough bulls, and especially large bulls, to maintain our breeding structure with non-retinal. 300 might become critical. I've not seen a presentation on the composition that was done this fall or last year. The composition of the large, which was referred to as large bulls, which are the five-year-old bulls, documented by Lane Adams in Denali National Park. How many are there? And they're actually the highly sought by the subsistence hunters because they have the highest fat content. Read articles of caribou coming to a crosser view this fall, except their big bulls were all rutted out, so they're shooting these young bulls, and they're really skinny. Yeah, they don't have any fat reserves, and even just migrating. Even so, the reality is the 300 large bulls actually might be a tipping point when you're shifting your harvest away from cows with a subsistence harvest towards bulls. And if they show up on before the 10th of October, there's going to be a heavy harvest on large bulls. The subsistence hunters will take large bulls. They're twice as big, and they got 3-4 times as much fat. Way more fat. Pregnants. They call those pregnants. And so they're the most important. When we had 207,000 caribou, it might have been negligible. But when we're at 152 and we're not getting good recruitments, so how many of these large bulls are actually left now? So the department is actually going to voice concern of shifting too much to harvest the bulls and reducing our bull-cow ratios too far. So then we get into another year or two of non-resident harvest, and that might actually be the caribou that we actually need for the recovery and the subsistence, providing for subsistence use. You have to look at the big picture. Any other comments?
Yeah, Jack.
Go ahead, Daryl.
I agree with what you're saying because that's what I've been trying to stress all this time. That we're trying to maneuver toward something that might hurt the whole herd, and I just didn't, you know, couldn't put that into a number for them that they could understand or could see. And I'm glad you painted that picture there. That really does show the highlight of what's actually going to happen if we open up too much on the bull.
All right. Thanks for that comment. Any further comments from committee members? So, does somebody want to call question on the proposal three?
Question.
Questions called. Those in favor of proposal three, which is to eliminate non-resident hunters, no harvest opportunity for bull caribou, and GMUs 21D, 22, 23, 24B, remainder, 24C, 24D, and 26A, and that's 21B, remainder. That's, we've made extensive comments on this proposal. Those in favor of the proposal, and I'll go through roll call. Daryl?
Now, explain to me so everybody else will know. We're trying to vote on you. So,
that's eliminating non-resident harvest of bull caribou in those game management units.
Okay. So they know that we want to eliminate that. We need to limit that. So that's a good point.
Right. So
you voted yes for the proposal, and Jack Olchies?
Yes.
You still there, Jack?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
I still don't get it, even though you guys tried to explain it. Are we trying to eliminate this one bill per year to non-resident hunters?
Yes.
Okay, yes.
And Vincent?
Yes.
Michelle?
Hi. Yes.
And myself? Myself, yes. So, the proposal is adopted unanimously. And we'll submit those comments that we made during this, the deliberation process. So, I think that kind of covers our necessary portions for this teleconference tonight. We've set a meeting for February 9th in Fairbanks, and we will cover fisheries updates, game wildlife updates, and we'll go through the Board of Game proposals at that meeting, so at the face-to-face meeting. Any further comments from the committee members tonight?
I just have a question for the department if the staff comments were posted yet.
Yeah, Michelle, the Region 3 or the Region 5 comments?
Region 3.
No, they're still in a draft. We're working those out with headquarters right now. So, we have a regional meeting next week, and probably going to hammer those down pretty good by the end of next week. And then I suppose maybe, I don't know, maybe, Mark, you know the final timeline that they're going to start posting those, but it's going to be at least about a week or two out before they start posting those.
Yeah, hopefully by the 9th we'll have those for you for that meeting.
Awesome.
Okay.
Thank you, guys.
All right. So I think that covers everything. I appreciate the ADF&G staff being on the meeting with us. And I appreciate your input, Glenn, bringing out some of the points that we were kind of skipping over. And so any further comments? We'll take a motion to adjourn. Daryl, motion to adjourn. We have a second.
Vincent, second.
All right. So those in favor of adjournment, signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Michelle?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. All right. Thanks so much. Have a great evening.
Good night.
Take care. Bye.
Good night.
Have a good night, everyone.
Have a good night.